I wonder if Augustus Toplady had it for us to sing like that tonight. I think he did, don't you think? Don't you think he got a little bit excited as he wrote that hymn? I believe he did. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is where we're starting tonight, and I want to focus our attention. Although, as you know, I like to hit a lot of verses here tonight because that's how you do. I took a vow in 1983. To preach the word. So I try to do that, preach the word when I'm preaching. So we're looking at the definition of God's promises tonight. I'm titling this series, Living Off the Promises of God. And last time we looked at the greatness of the promises from 2 Peter chapter 1, where he speaks of whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. I just like that verse. It just says a lot. Exceeding great and precious promises. So tonight, the definition of a promise is we kind of break down Hebrews 11 and verse 6, and look at all the surrounding verses and stuff like that. Let's pray. Father, we need your help as we open your word. We recognize it's your word. It's not ours. This is where you speak to us, and so we pray that you would speak to us tonight. Encourage our hearts, because as we consider the promises of God, we all long for that hope that the promises of God produce in us. And pray that you would give us grace to draw from the definition of a promise as we open up Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tonight. We need your help, and so we call upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the elements of a promise, as I came across this in a book that I thought was pretty good, a promise of God is a declaration of his will. That makes sense, right? When we look at the promise of God, sometimes you have to look at the surrounding verses, the context, which is important anyway, but also sometimes the things are implied. But number one, there's a declaration of God's will. Number two is a vow of good things, and that's what we hold on to, where God has made a promise. And the third is an expectation and reception. In other words, we expect something from God, and God expects something from us as we receive his promise. So Hebrews 11 and verse 6 goes like this. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God, he must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The declaration of God's will goes like this. We please God by drawing near to him in faith, believing that he exists and his reward is for those who seek him. In other words, he's pleased when we draw near. That's what pleases God, our drawing near to him. God has made us to be dependent upon him. Very simple. We want to be very independent and not be dependent upon God. God has made us so it pleases him the more dependent we are on him. So as we look at this, Hebrews 11 verse 6, we look at, first of all, Hebrews, when we look at, he says, without faith it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, it goes like this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. When God sparks us with faith and we hear the words to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that's grace. That's grace that we call. And so it's our first step of pleasing God, going from not pleasing God to pleasing him, to call upon him. It says in Psalm 105 and verse 3, glory in his name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So seekers of the Lord are greatly blessed, even as it says in Jeremiah 29 verse 13, when it says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Let's look at this. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So let's break that down. First of all, the definition of faith is found in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, it says in ESV, the conviction of things not seen. In other words, faith works inside, but it works out of us. God places it in our hearts. It comes out in the way that we call upon God, as it makes even a conviction of things not seen. He says, by faith, the people of old received the commendation. Okay, they were commended for their faith. They showed their faith. Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So the question is, do you believe that that God made the world by his word and power? It takes faith to believe that. That's faith. You know, it's not something you just make up. It's something that God has shown you in your heart, and it comes out in the fact that you believe that. So, going on, he says, there are three examples of faith. So, I'm going to look at it from the standpoint, it's three examples of living by faith, or as he says, without faith it's impossible to please him. The first one is found in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel worshipped. Here's what it says. By faith, Abel offered to God more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though he was commended as, and through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. It's told that he offered his lamb by faith. He brought the firstling of the flock. You know, Cain brought the best he could. He brought his garden, right? He brought the best of his garden. You know, we don't know it. Probably from the, I just surmise that it's kind of implied in the book of Genesis when God made made clothing or made coverings for Adam and Eve out of the skins of animals. The animals had to be slain. Just something about that says, you know, without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement. There is no remission of sin. And so from an atonement sacrifice, there was a shedding of blood. It seems like that was taught. But because we're told in Hebrews that there was no faith involved from Cain, and he was really, really upset that God did not accept his sacrifice and accepted that of Abel. And therefore, that's when he got so mad that he killed his brother. But we have this, that first of all, let's understand that God is very picky about worship. He's very picky, isn't he? You look at the second commandment. You know, he tells us not to make any graven images, not to serve any idols, not to make any idols, right? So he's very picky about things. We try to move things. You know, everybody likes things they see and touch and feel. You know, have you ever been to a place that has all the icons and everything? I remember I went a trip to Russia in 2001 and went to the Kremlin, and there's a Russian Orthodox Church there. And my goodness, I thought all these icons. I was kind of leery about that, but anyway, I was really leery. You know, but it's interesting. It says in just the same, Jesus says in John 4 and verse 23, that God is a spirit and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. For he says he seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And yet today, many people just add whatever they want to in a worship service. God is very picky about things. And we want to be accepted. And so here's the point I'm making. By faith, Abel was accepted because he followed what was given to him to bring a sacrifice of a lamb to God. Here's what we are to do. Romans 12. Listen to this. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now watch. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Holy means set apart. I always like to preach this, that it's either, if you're holy, H-O-L-Y, you're also wholly giving it to God, not leaving anything out. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Is that a word? I think it is. And if not, it's holy, as in H-O-L-E-L-Y. What's that? Yeah, whatever. Spelling is not my thing. Because here's what it says in the book of Haggai, chapter 1. Haggai is prophesying against the Lord's people because the house of God was not being built and the people were building up their houses. And he says, and you, among other things, he says, you're filling your pockets with money that have holes, and you have holes in your pocket. Sounds like those words my dad always said when he'd give me my allowance and I would have it spent before he actually gave it to me. He said, that money is burning a hole in your pocket, Bob. So the point is, if we're offering our bodies wholly to God, it must be wholly, all in. Otherwise, it's full of holes. Does that make any sense? Okay, so look at this. Romans chapter 12, he says, your body's a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, watch this, acceptable and perfect will of God. Our acceptance is there. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, you as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God, which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's where we find our acceptance. Secondly, Abel not only worshipped God by faith, but Enoch walked with God by faith. Listen to these words. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. It's interesting because that is where the verse we just looked at, we're looking at, followed that. He was noted for pleasing God. And then it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he no doubt lived by, he walked by faith. That means you, every day you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, therefore, as the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation. Here's what it says in Colossians chapter 1. That you might walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, okay, pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, and the next word, giving thanks. That's how we walk with God. When we're walking with God in faith, it pleases Him. The third example is Noah. Noah worked for God. God told him to build the ark. It was a 100-year project. Can you imagine that? 100-year project. I wonder what it looked like after 1 week. I wonder what it looked like after 1 month. I wonder what it looked like after 1 year. Okay? It says, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed the ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Work. We don't believe you work for your salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say that. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next words are these. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Noah did a good work. He was warned, build the ark because it's going to save your family from this upcoming flood where everything's going to be destroyed. He believed God. By the way, he had to do a lot of farming too because he was supposed to fill the ark with all that food for all those animals. He had a big job, didn't he? I reckon he had a lot of people working for him that were going to die in the flood. But nevertheless, he built that for, it took 100 years to build. It says in the book of Titus chapter 2, I love these verses, when it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, now watch this, and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works. Abel worshipped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. Noah worked for God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him. The promise is an expression of God's will, and that is that we would please God by approaching him by faith, expecting as we do to receive good things, which he promises to those who seek him. That's really the basis of our faith. It's the promises draw us to God to believe that he exists. Now, the second point is the vow of good things. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, what is the vow of good things? Well, there's the blessing of knowing that you please God. If you could have one thing in mind that you know that God is pleased, that would you like that? Yes. Yeah, that would sound pretty good, right? And so there's a vow of God. You're pleasing God here in this promise. There is also the blessing of faith in seeking to draw near to God. God gives us that faith and we draw near to seek him. And the blessing of faith in believing that he will not only hear us, but reward us. Pleasing God. By faith, Enoch was taken. They should not see death. He was found. Before the fact that he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended for having pleased God. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and then by faith we go to God in prayer. Let's just look at it this way. There's a beautiful scene in Mark chapter 2. I love this scene because of the statement. Remember, the scene is that there's a paraplegic brother that these men had, a paraplegic brother, and they wanted to bring him to Jesus, and Jesus was in a house, and you couldn't get in. So they went up to the roof, started pulling away the tiles, and they let their brother down. And as they were letting the brother down in this house, can you imagine how packed it was? There's a lot of people there. They couldn't even begin to get in. So here comes the brother down on the stretcher. And it says this: when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, you know, the scene is, he says to the man, "Son, your sins be forgiven you." The religious leaders had a fit. Who is this? You know, they didn't even say it, but they're just thinking, who is this that says he forgives sins? That's blasphemy. And so Jesus looks at them and says, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk? Well, obviously, it's easier to say your sins be forgiven you, right? Because nobody would know. But if he says, rise, take up your bed and walk, he better be doing that. Well, he said it. Rise, take up your bed and walk. And he did. It says he walked out of there. I was wondering, did they clear the aisle? Because they were packed in there, right? But nevertheless, Jesus saw their faith. Their faith was action. And that's what he says. The blessing that you know, there's a blessing that you know you're pleasing God when by faith you call upon God. You seek after God. Many of God's children don't spend time during their day and seek after God. Many of them start their day and they, I forgot to seek God. Well, they say a little prayer while they're driving, that's about it. Do you spend time seeking God? Do you recognize that it's a blessing of faith even to draw near to God? We're told in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit draws us. The spirit of adoption brings us into the presence of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. He teaches our hearts to pray. This is the work of the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is drawing us to call upon God. The Holy Spirit is working faith in our hearts to call unto God. So we're blessed people. And we recognize, and he says in this verse, that it's a blessing because now we understand God is pleased when we do. No matter how feeble your prayer, no matter what time of the day it is, whether it's out loud or whether it's silent prayers, whatever it is, God is pleased when we pray. When we reach out to Him, God is pleased. I think that's wonderful to know that, isn't it? No wonder He says that the Spirit agrees with us, or the Spirit works in us to let us know that we're pleasing God. And He does that when we turn to God in prayer. There's also the expectation in reception. God expects faith expressed in believing God and hearing His hearing and answering. Faith expects God to hear and answer, and faith expects to please God by submitting to His declared will. The time of the disciples. Now watch this. They were on one side of the lake, and it came to pass a certain day that Jesus went into the ship with His disciples and said to them, let's go over to the other side. Make that known. He said, we're going to the other side. Let's go to the other side. Okay, so as they launched out, they sailed, and He fell asleep, and there was a great storm of a wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy, and they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And He looked at them and said, where's your faith? Would He ever say that to us? Rather than seek Him all the time, they were looking at the storm and they were very concerned. Okay? He says, where's your faith? And then they said, what manner of man is this that commands even the winds and the waves and they obey Him? On the other hand, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever comes to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. There's a woman who is a Canaanite woman. Came because She cried to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." The disciples said, "Send her away. Get her out of here." Jesus says, "You know, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and it's not right to give the food for the children to the dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord. But the dogs get the crumbs." And Jesus marveled at her great faith, and he healed her daughter. You see the perseverance in that? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. When we look at the Ten Commandments, you know, you're looking at the things that can please, how to please God. Here's a great way that we please God, by seeking him day in and day out, seeking him for everything in our lives, not putting everything on the back burner. Everything's important to seek after him. And that's why he says in 1 Thessalonians, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brother, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have received of us how you ought to walk to please God, so you would abound more and more." Again, the Ten Commandments, we talk sometimes about the three uses of the law. The law was given to bring us to Christ, to show us our inability to do what is right before God. Because all of us break the Ten Commandments all the time. Okay? And especially when you look at the interpretation of the Ten Commandments by the Lord Jesus Christ, it goes much further than we like to think and scratch the surface. So it shows us our desperate need of God to provide salvation for us. Secondly, it's a good standard for living in a community. I mean, if people follow the Ten Commandments, there's a safety factor there. But the third thing is, it's a way that we might please God. When we're doing what God says in his law, we're pleasing him. When we take one day out of the week and we serve God and we listen to God and we want to be with God and we take one day of rest to rest and to worship God, God's pleased with that. We're honoring the Lord with his day. We're honoring the Lord when we do not want images. We just want to serve the living God and follow what his word has to say. That pleases God. When we tell the truth, that pleases God. When we are faithful to our mate, that pleases God. You see, sometimes people look at the Ten Commandments and think, God is so rough. No, here's the way that we please God. We understand the way we please God. Well, the promise of God in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 is that we please God by seeking after him. That pleases him. When we believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. A declaration of God's will, a vow of good things, that he hears us, he's pleased with us, he's glad to hear from us. There's also this expectation and reception. When we call upon him, we're expecting him to answer. When we call upon him, we understand we are pleasing him, so there's an expectation of being close to him while we're calling upon him. But I want to take that definition and run it through a couple of other promises that we probably know of. One of my favorite promises is Jeremiah 33:3, that says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you know not." And I said last time, I think this was our verse from our... You know, here we are this year going to celebrate 50 years of marriage. And I think we've been holding on to that promise for 50 years. And you know what? It's true. So, the declaration of God's will in Jeremiah 33:3. God's will is our dependency in calling upon him. God's will for us is to be people that are dependent. Now, I know you parents, when you have children, you like for them to grow in independence. You don't want them living at home when they're 50 years of age. Okay, you expect them to go out on their own, make decisions for themselves, to grow up. Okay? Okay, that's what we're looking for, independence. But spiritually, it's just the opposite. We come to God from independence, and we grow in our dependence upon God, and that's what pleases him. So Jeremiah 33 is, "Call unto me," God says, "and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not." His will is declared, I want you to be dependent upon me. Okay? The vow of good things, he has promised to hear, He's promised to answer, and He's promised to blow our minds. I'm going to do great and mighty things which you know not. And the third thing, there's an expectation in reception of our calling and God's answering. The second promise that I want to look at just before we close is that Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. You probably know it by heart, but let me read it anyway. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Looking at a definition of a promise, there's a declaration of God's will. What is God's will? Our walk and lifestyle should be in trusting God. Therefore, He says, without covetousness, and we should be content. Okay? The vow of good things is God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That means the same God that was the God of David in Psalm 23, He says, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, is the same God of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Just as we see in Psalm 23, the shepherd never leaves the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Okay, this is what we're talking about. The declaration of God's will is our walk and lifestyle of trusting God, and God will never leave us or forsake us. So there's an expectation in reception, our boldness, and His faithfulness. He expects us to be bold in the world because He's with us. And we expect Him to be faithful, and He always is. Isn't that good? Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He exists. And that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your word and Your promises. Your promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. And as Peter said, they're exceedingly great and precious promises. And we thank You for this promise in Hebrews 11:6 and how it played out in the life of Abel and Enoch and Noah. May it be part of our lives too. May we learn to seek You more every day and live off this promise, knowing that You're pleased with our seeking You. What is better than that? It's good to seek the Lord. Father, thank You for this time here tonight, and thank You for this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to sing.